From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, August 16th. I'm Abby Larico. Good soil is the bedrock of agriculture, but scientists still don't know much about how farming impacts soil, even over the average human lifespan.
With the exception of a few places across the globe, we really don't know how the soil changes over that duration of time.
The discovery of century-old soil samples could provide groundbreaking research opportunities. That story coming up on The Gateway. The Francis Howell School Board postponed voting on a policy that would restrict transgender students' use of bathrooms that don't match their birth-assigned sex. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennicke reports, the board passed several other controversial measures during a meeting last night.
Dozens of students, parents, and teachers say they're relieved the bathroom restriction was tabled. The board approved a policy preventing teachers from discussing gender identity and displaying LGBTQ-related items. They also approved a ban on books containing normalized alcohol and drug use, repeated profanity, explicit sexual descriptions, or excessive criminal activity. Lise Martin is a sophomore at Francis Howell Central. They say the new policy will hurt student learning.
As a whole, our librarians are there to connect with the students and find their personality and find books that help and fit them. And I don't think books are some agenda-pushing thing, and I don't think that they're a threat.
The new policy states the board can make exceptions for certain books. I'm Lauren Brennicke, St. Louis Public Radio.
For the first time, before and after care programs will be provided for all elementary schools in the St. Louis Public School District beginning Monday. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more.
When classes resume next week, all 42 elementary schools across the SLPS district will provide before and after care programs. Compared to last year, there are 46% more slots available for before care and 15% more for after care. Letitia Smith, Deputy Chief of Student Support Services, says students will be engaged with at least 20 minutes of reading.
Our parents instill a lot of faith and trust in the district to educate their children, and they also partner with us on before and after care for their children, and we are very prideful in the trust that they put in us for this programming.
Most of the programs are free, but spaces are limited. Parents can find a link to sign up at stlpr.org. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Ferguson police officer who was critically injured last Friday night during protests outside the Ferguson Police Department is showing some small signs of improvement. The family of Travis Brown posted Thursday morning on the GoFundMe page to help with his medical bills, saying that Brown is showing, quote, small but significant signs of progress. He was seriously injured during a protest on the 10th anniversary of Michael Brown Jr.'s death. The update adds that the officer has undergone several procedures to address swelling and fluid in his brain. It also says doctors are encouraged by his brain activity and that he has shown slight movements in his leg and hand. The race for U.S. Senate in Missouri is off to a tense start between Democrat Lucas Kuntz and Republican Senator Josh Hawley. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, the two candidates had a brief run-in Thursday at the Missouri State Fair.
Soon after Hawley arrived at the governor's ham breakfast, he went into the crowd at the event to find Kuntz. The two had a 12-minute testy exchange.
It's great to see you out of your basement, Lucas, by the way. Are you going to do any campaign events around the state or just media?
Josh, why are you so weird, man? Why are you so creepy?
The main point of contention was where the two should debate. Hawley wanted to immediately have a debate outside the state fair, while Kuntz is in favor of televised debates with moderators. They also sparred over labor issues and union support. Kuntz said afterwards it was the first time the two had met after both had secured their nominations in the primary last week. In Sedalia, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The candidates for Missouri governor were also at the breakfast Thursday, both claiming a constitutional amendment on abortion will improve their chances this fall. The proposal that would end the state's abortion ban gathered enough signatures to appear on Missouri ballots in November. House Minority Leader Crystal Quaid won her primary election last week to become the Democratic nominee for Missouri governor. She says she believes a new presidential nominee will help state Democrats in the election and that abortion rights being on the ballot will motivate voters to turn out.
We know that that's going to excite people and turn folks out to vote because Missourians are tired of politicians telling us what to do. And we know that in every corner of our state, folks are going to be supportive of that issue. And so we know it's going to elevate the top of the ticket as well.
Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe won his primary election last week to be the Republican nominee for governor. He said defeating the amendment is a top priority and that he will join with anyone who wants to work together to do so.
Protecting innocent life is one of our highest, if not the highest priority we can have as an elected official.
A constitutional amendment that would legalize sports betting and a proposed statute change raising the minimum wage were also approved to be on the ballot in November. The grassy lawn at the state fairgrounds in Springfield, Illinois, Thursday was dotted with people wearing red hats and T-shirts and cardboard cutouts of former President Donald Trump for Republican Day at the Illinois State Fair. Huddling under tents for cover from rain, elected officials and volunteers talked about ways to energize conservative voters in a Democratic stronghold like Illinois. Chair of the state GOP, Kathy Salvey, says the key is party unity.
If we can look at what joins us, not what divides us, there's no stopping us. Because Republican unity on this mission for all candidates on the ballot puts us on the right track, and Republican unity will win in 2024.
Salvey says she hopes excitement around Trump can help down-ballot Republicans win across Illinois. An Emerson College poll released Thursday shows Vice President Kamala Harris surging in popularity. And also Thursday, the sentencing of a St. Louis Cardinals superfan charged for his participation in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Rally Runner will spend 10 months in federal prison. He admitted in March that he led a group of insurrectionists using riot shields to push law enforcement back from a tunnel near the Capitol entrance. Officers were later able to regroup and prevent the rioters from entering the Capitol itself. Runner, formerly known as Daniel Donnelly, will also pay $3,000 in fees and fines. He is one of at least seven people from the St. Louis area to be charged in connection with the insurrection. Science has been studying the growing of crops for a long time, but the study of soil is relatively new. Researchers are finding that there's a lot to be learned about how farming has impacted soil over the decades, and as Harvest Public Media's Jim Meadows reports, that research could be greatly helped by the discovery of soil samples over a century old.
On a Sunday morning in August of 2018, University of Illinois soil scientist Andrew Margonaut drove out to a dilapidated barn on the campus farm. Inside, using a headlamp to pierce the darkness, Margonaut discovered a treasure trove.
I realized within about 5 minutes of walking through these cobwebbed, very dark hallways that there were row upon row, shelf upon shelf of soils, and that these were the original soils taken in the mapping of the state.
There were thousands of soil samples stored in mason jars and other sealed containers going back as far as the 1860s. The soil, taken from nearly every Illinois county, mostly in the early 1900s, was used to map soil types and help farmers determine growing conditions. The collection was orphaned in 2003 after the death of the last researcher to work with it. Professor Margonaut says his rediscovery sent his mind reeling with the research possibilities.
I didn't sleep for about two nights because I was so excited by all the things that we could answer.
Margonaut is contacting farmers and landowners so he can take new soil samples in the same locations. He wants to study how the soil has changed over more than a century to learn about long-term changes in nutrients, microbial activity, and soil stability. That's a rare opportunity. U.S. Department of Agriculture soil scientist Mark Liebig says the soil samples in most soil archives are less than 40 years old.
The average human lifespan now is right around 73 years. With the exception of a few places across the globe, we really don't know how the soil changes over that duration of time.
Liebig says he believes many older soil archives that did exist have been lost either forever or until they're found again. At Penn State University, another collection showed up in a storage closet 4 years ago. The samples date from 1915 and 1933 from a now-demolished test plot on campus. Rita Grafe with Penn State's Pasto Agricultural Museum says nowadays they can analyze the soils in new ways, even reviving the soil's dormant microbes.
But we need to preserve these collections because in the future, there might be technologies that let us further understand what was happening in the soil then so that we can make decisions going forward.
We also have the Morrow plot samples going back to 1904 up here as well.
Okay.
So it's a
at the University of Illinois today, thousands of jars of soil line shelves in a much newer barn. Marcinot picks one up.
And this one, for example, this is a good example of a jar where the label is not in great shape, as you can see.
But a little paper inside the jar gives more information. Marcinot is using all that data to reach out to landowners and ask permission to take new soil samples at more than 450 specific locations. So far, he's gotten around 60. One of those new samples comes from John Kiefner's farm southwest of Chicago.
I see it as an avenue for me to maybe get more educated and become a little smarter. I'm really curious to see how this soil has changed from 1957 to 2024.
Kiefner adopted no-till farming more than three decades ago. He hopes to learn that he's actually improved his soil, or at least not harmed it. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Jim Meadows.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great weekend.